that becomes a liability. I was just wondering if anyone from the town had is working with the city of Wisconsin Rapids to see what a true cost would be, because I know probably 6 years ago when we had talked about it, it was like there's no way the town could afford it. I was just wondering what your thoughts were, and if anyone had contacted you, and I'll get off the phone because I'm actually driving to work. I work for the county, but I'd love to hear your response.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Call.
Thanks for the call, Al, and raising the question. You know, as just yesterday they had their business after hours, but it was city council, so I couldn't make it.
Yeah, I was in town of Rome, and I got to see what I toured during the winter months, the sands development, the trap shooting area, deer queues.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of happening. So to the caller's question about potential extension of utilities costs, you know, there's obviously a lot of, it's a pretty complex sort of conversation. But in short, we have been having some loose conversations with members of their Community Development Authority, their CDA, to talk about if that request were to come forward, kind of what in what fashion would we want to discuss it and how would we discuss it? Because today the city takes wastewater from the village of Rudolph as well as the village of Buren, but does not extend individually water or sewer to anybody that's not annexed to the city. So in terms of policy, that's kind of getting that piece out of the way. But as it relates to the cost to extend, you know, there is a bit of a distance between the city and the town and where they would the ground that would have to be covered to extend the utilities.
And you got two counties.
Yeah, and there's separation of county. I would say anything is possible, but of course it comes with a price. And you know, I think the town's challenge previously was who's going to pay for it, right? The users of the town that were you know at present or still are there today didn't really have a need. But obviously, any future development, should there be lodging or hotel accommodations at the site and anything else development that's around that, there would be a demand that the town probably couldn't meet today. So should that opportunity come forth, the city would react and respond and probably discuss it in a way that, you know, would consider the region's economic impact. The concern or the challenge for us is the fact that all of our users and ratepayers have invested in the system. So to come and join the party late, you know, what does that cost? What does that look like? It's not just the extension and running the lines. It's, hey, we've maintained this infrastructure to date and intend to in the future.
And do we have the capacity to handle?
Well, a lot of it would be low loadings. It's not, you know, wet industrial users, so it's flow. And so when you're treating flow, it's just more gallons, you know, in terms of the plant. So it wouldn't be, taxing us. But yes, there's a limitations to the plant as well in the amount of flow that we can take. But as far as the town specific request, I know in their TIF plan, which was just at a hearing last week, they brought that up as a potential expenditure, included that as an item that, hey, this will cost somebody. If it's going to cost somebody, the developer, by way of what they'll pay in taxes, new taxes, the new increment that's generated down there, could potentially be an expenditure could be to think about extending utilities. But it's a lot to discuss in that question, but really it's a good question, because as far as a good neighbor and supporting the region's economic growth, no question would we look at it and entertain it.
What's happening there is going to benefit this community.
Yeah.
I mean, people who go to play the golf courses of Central Wisconsin, they're talking about the development of a Central Wisconsin golf trail with the golf courses in Rome and Wisconsin Rapids and the like. Where are they going to stay?
That's right.
I mean, they might decide, hey, I want to stay at Hotel Meat, or I want to stay at Quality, you know.
Mm-hmm. The amenities are in the city, right?
Right.
Your shopping or any of your entertainment.
Or I want to go to see a Raptors game while I'm...
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's benefit, and then that leads into the discussion we've had with Representative Krug. That highway, it's two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, could you see that being developed into a four-lane highway?
Yeah, if the traffic count indicated that it was, you know, you need to upgrade it. You know, I think it's got a ways to go before it gets there. But yeah, if there's the traffic and the demand, or even, you know, there's talk about what other sort of transportation options could exist, and shuttling and transportation, because we know, if a large share of the course's play is generated from jet traffic and airplane traffic,
right,
we're going to need to get those folks down to the airport, and what does that transportation system look too?
Okay, yeah, and that leads into our airport and keeping it up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got another call, Your Honor, so let's get right to them. Good morning, you're on the air with Mayor Verwink.
Yeah, my concern is the riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
The clearing, or there was a piece in the paper about, you know, people wanted to see the river, so, you know, clearing it of brush and other organic materials. You know, when you have, that's a concern for me, for pollution, runoff. I think, you know, you need to maintain a buffer along the river. So if you get heavy rainfalls or flooding or whatever the case may be, that it keeps the riverbank stable.
That's a great point. You know, we just this last spring did some clearing at the request of a number of residents who live on or near the riverbank to open up the views of the river. And but of course, like you say, it's more than just seeing the river. It's also how do you protect the riverbank from falling into the river. You lose that riverbank, you've got a major problem on your hands. So depends on what section of the riverbank you're talking about. Some of it, you know, as we talk downtown, has more of an urban section of the river wall that was put in, you know, in the Army Corps days where they installed that, actually. But then you move south a little bit and there's a much smaller river wall. And so a lot of that river wall, some of it has failed, some of it's in really good shape, but there's kind of the spectrum. So how do you address and prepare for even climate change and the amount of flooding that could occur, regular events? You know, thankfully we haven't had regular events like we had the two in recent years, because that would really challenge our riverbank and require us to plan and to make sure that we've stabilized that bank to the greatest extent possible.
Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Why did you go ahead and clear, you know, just because, I mean, a lot of times people don't understand the dynamics of, you know, why it's important to have a vegetation buffer there for the river.
Right.
I mean, so if somebody comes along and says, well, you know, I want to see the river there, but if it's detrimental to the river and more, you know, polluting the river with runoff, that, you know,
nothing was
that's not good either.
That's a great point. Nothing was changed in by way of stormwater in the way the runoff occurs today. In fact, most of those discharges they go through piping into the river directly. There isn't a curb system, a natural sort of rain garden sort of ecosystem or swaling that occurs. It's all curbed and it all runs directly into the river. But in terms of bank stabilization, you know, we certainly need to make sure that we're not removing some of the vegetation that does stabilize the bank. And that's was a concern when Public Works went ahead and did do some of the trimming that they had done this last spring. None of it was removed. It was more of, we have an obligation to keep the riverbank maintained, and part of it is to make sure that the invasive species and other things are kept at bay. So the DNR actually has been approached to talk about how we put together a riverbank management plan about dealing with the invasive species that have unfortunately grown in our riverbank and in some cases are obstructing the view. So it's something that needs to be planned for and put together to make sure we're not using a shotgun approach and just appeasing a request to clear the bank so it can be seen.
Okay. Well, we have.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Invasive species is a very serious problem in this state, and that's something a lot of times people forget. Those pretty little plants that you'd like, they're not native.
Yeah.
we got to take our first break, and I want to continue because I want to see how this fits into the second phase riverfront design concepts that Supermass Studio presented recently. And the phone lines are open at 424-2600, pound 1320 on a U.S. cellular phone. Your chance to visit with Mayor Verwick here on The Morning Magazine, which, as always, is brought to you by Comfort Air.
Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing has been your Bryant dealer serving Central Wisconsin since 1999, specializing in installation, maintenance, and repair of all types of heating, cooling, and ventilation equipment for both residential and commercial. Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing has certified technicians that work on all makes and models. We are fully insured and a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited business. Stop in our showroom today, 880 Highway 73 South, or check us out online, comfortair.biz. Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, whatever it takes.
If you could wave a wand and change one thing about your house, what would it be?
Hold that thought, but forget the wand. Home improvement isn't magic.
If you're a do-it-yourselfer, we can show you the tricks of the trade for remodeling and repair.
And how to not get fooled when you're choosing and directing a contractor. Hi, I'm Tom Kreitler.
And Leslie Segretti. Phone in your fix-up questions here this weekend.
On the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show.
Sunday morning at 6 a.m. right here on AM 1320 WFHR. Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
This afternoon, we'll be seeing periods of rain showers under cloudy skies, south winds 10 to 20, temperatures steady in the middle 60s. Tonight, skies will be cloudy. We'll continue with rain showers, wind out of the southwest 5 to 15, and lows in the mid 50s. And some lingering rain showers to start off our Thursday, otherwise cloudy skies for much of the day, west winds, as our highs will be warming to 70. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, meteorologist Greg Tatro.
And those winds out of the southwest are starting to kick in. They're as high as 28 miles an hour up at CWA, so hang on to your hat this afternoon. Right now, it's partly sunny and 63 in Wausau, cloudy and 58 in Marshfield, 59 under clouds in Stevens Point, and a windy and cloudy 59 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. On this day where we get a taste of fall, a quick programming note coming up Friday in part one of the Morning Magazine. We will be visiting with Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Stephanie Clark, talking about the state's fall tourism campaign. And today, we want you to talk with your mayor. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Zach Verwink is here for the entire show, and we invite your participation at 715-424-2020. Or pound 1320 on a U.S. cellular phone. We also welcome our friends from RCCA Media. Jesse's here making sure I look somewhat good in high definition. like I said, I have a face for radio. But we're talking about the riverfront going into break. And recently there was another meeting. Supermass Studio presented its second phase riverfront design concepts. And this kind of goes into what we were talking about and addresses some of the concerns of the last caller. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
And it's kind of a tie too back to the conversation that we talked about in that Senator Baldwin's legislation, which right. seeks to promote greater sustainability and promote healthy ecosystems along the riverfronts and waterfronts, because if you don't have, as the caller indicated, a good management plan, it's not healthy, and
right.
so you can really disrupt ecosystems and challenge those species that are enjoying their life along the riverfront. So as it relates to us as people and humans, the Supermass Studio, as part of the riverfront design plan, was they included actually on the east bank of river some bioswales that will actually treat stormwater that. Way that isn't being done today in the city. So very much thinking ecology and sustainability in their efforts to design enhancements riverfront. So Supermass Studio was the consultant that the city had selected to refine its concepts for its open spaces plan. And the open spaces plan is essentially the waterfront that's public from Demets Park across from Aspires Riverview Hospital all the way up to the dam at SS Peter and Paul, across from SS Peter and Paul Church. And to talk about what improvements could be made along the waterfront. It's not meant to be a tomorrow plan, but it's
long range.
It's very much a long range plan. You know, we've done all the other planning for a lot of the spaces surrounding it, land use, all of that, but we haven't ever gotten to the point where we've designed the actual spaces, amenities in the spaces. So they'll be back in town. We did have a visit from them on August 5th, where members of the public were invited to join us in the evening to hear and to see the more refined plans. They will be back again in mid-September, around the time of the city council meeting, so about a month from now, to present their plan to city leaders in the city council. Following that, it's my intention to take that to the community and to get really broad-based community input and feedback on the refined concepts. You know, it's interesting, there was actually just the other day I saw somebody had started what's called a Kickstarter page or a fund page to raise monies for the improvements. I mean, there is a general excitement, you know, I would say across generations about this, recognizing that public spaces are indeed public and we should be using them.
Well, at the community picnic that you were at, mm-hmm. I noticed the way the river, the potential uses for the river. And I think there were people there that have never really been down to the river.
Right.
And they saw, you know, the activity,
flat boarding,
and they saw that, and they're going, and that's a new business in town.
Right.
I mean, so there's opportunities. There might be opportunities for somebody to start a little dinner cruise or something.
Something, yeah. I mean, there's a multitude of opportunities that can still respect the river, but still utilize it in a way that promotes healthy living. It promotes recreation, getting outside and getting active. And our hope through this process is to design concepts that will promote getting people to and on and into the river.
Okay. Well, and other communities have done that to great success.
That's right.
And in some ways, this kind of reminds me of what Stevens Point went through when they developed the Green Circle Trail. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, hey, we got this area we want to develop in, and it's become a major tourist attraction.
Yeah, yeah. Something very simple, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't require, you know, a ton of specialty planning and all of that. It's, yeah, the technical aspects to all of this, but really, it's about how do you create more attractive places for commerce, for residences, and also for recreation. And that's very much the vision of this plan and all of our activities in the waterfront district.
Yeah, I heard from a friend I hadn't heard from and said, oh, yeah, I'm coming up to Central Wisconsin. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm going to bike the Green Circle Trail. I'm like, and serious, folks. I mean, this is happening. It can happen here. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line, if we do it right.
Yep. And really asking ourselves, what is our green circle? Or what is the attraction that brings people to certain areas? You know, I've heard a lot of, from residents that have young children and families that have talked about going to Plainfield and using the splash pad there, and how it's such an attraction that people from our community are driving to Plainfield to spend a day or an afternoon with their kids in a splash pad, a public outdoor place where they can spend time and have fun with their kids. And same thing goes for our aquatics and any other recreational offering for that matter, that if we don't have these spaces, people will travel or leave, frankly, for seeking them.
And business recruiters or business siters who are looking for places to site a business, look at these types of things, because they're thinking about, okay, can this community recruit the workers that we will need to operate a facility?
That's right. Yeah.
And so quality of life becomes a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads into, since I mentioned siders, it's been a while now, a couple of years, since we got that designation from WIDIC, and WIDIC's got its own slate of problems.
Right.
But what's the latest on what's happening in the East Commerce?
They continue to market it alongside all the other sites. So recognizing it's, you know, we all watch the news and see what's happening, but we also see what announcements are happening, and there haven't been, you know, any major plant expansions or major investments with new sort of development on greenfield sites across the state. There's been pockets of them. Stevens Point's had some success with some of their local companies that have grown and have built new facilities and that sort of thing, but year to date, we have not had that site has been very quiet. But we did include it in the Wisconsin Site Selection magazine, which went out to site selectors internationally. We took a 2-page spread out about the site and told the story of why that site should be considered and people's desire to select a site. In the same vein, sort of connected to that and on economic growth is the Regional Economic Growth Initiative. Met with their board chair and the gentleman that's actually been brought on board to lead that effort, and I'm assuming that he'll be on a future program with you talking about the vision and sort of the action now that that position has been filled, really as a kind of a nice puzzle piece that's come into place, hopefully for what can come in terms of attraction or even growth of our local companies.
Yeah, we have the infrastructure in terms of communication. And we have the internet and everything else, and it's been told that you can run a call center or whatever from Wisconsin Rapids. Have you been getting any response from?
We don't have a lot of space available. You know,
about the downtown, the old consolidated
well,
office.
Well, the River Block building is something that's been of very strong interest by myself. That's the fact that it's the single largest unoccupied building in central Wisconsin. We don't have 75,000 square foot of office space in that configuration anywhere in the greater central Wisconsin area. So it's a prime opportunity. It's now been talked about, you know, if there's other uses of the site. I think the owner is very interested in delivering a win for the community and helping to support that by way of occupying that space again. It is 100% vacant today. You know, at one point it had 400 people working in it, right? And 400 paychecks every 2 weeks. And Jesse was probably one of those people that worked in the building. I know my mom, you know, I remember walking in it all the time. But it is a priority of mine to get that building occupied. And if it's occupied again, it can be a quick way to instill some life into the downtown economy, but even the region's economy. And that needs to be a core piece of our strategy. It's not so much, in as much as we'd like the greenfield sites here in, you know, in your neighborhood here, over here, and others, but it's also taking a look at that infill opportunity. What sites do we have that are underutilized, that are vacant, blighted, or might require a unique strategy to get them occupied again?
What's the quality of that building? Since
it's in great shape. I mean, of course, like anything else, it needs upkeep and maintenance, and it's not brand new. It was built in, what, the 80s, so, you know, it's got its own, you know, kind of life cycle challenges maybe, but from what I'm told, the building is in sound shape, and the HVAC system and a lot of the other electrical stuff, and of course, is, you know, 80s technology, but there's ways to modernize it without having to break the bank or even tear it down.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about the downtown with you, but I've got to take one more break, and then we'll be back to wrap up our hour-long session with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Zach Verwink, but you still have the opportunity to talk to your mayor at 424-26 pound 1320 on a U.S. cellular phone. Hey, fall equals football.
High school football returns to AM 1320, WFHR, and WFHR.com as the Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln Red Raiders hit the road to take on DC Everest coming up Friday night. Our broadcast begins at 6:45 with pregame programming and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. It's the old rivals, the Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders, taking on the DC Everest Evergreens this Friday night. Our game broadcast is proudly brought to you by Marshfield Clinic. Don't just live, shine. Comfort Air, heating, cooling, and plumbing. Paper City Savings. Wisconsin River Orthopedics. Tim Hintz Automotive. Ministry Healthcare. Renaissance Learning Center. Del Monte Foods. Catch all the excitement of high school football this season right here on AM 1320 WFHR and streaming online at WFHR.com.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
This afternoon we'll be seeing periods of rain showers under cloudy skies, south winds 10 to 20, temperatures steady in the middle 60s. Tonight skies will be cloudy, we'll continue with rain showers, winds out of the southwest 5 to 15 and lows in the mid 50s. And some lingering rain showers to start off our Thursday, otherwise cloudy skies for much of the day, west winds as our highs will be warming to 70. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, meteorologist Greg Trout.
Cloudy, windy, and 59 at AM 1320. Welcome back to the Morning Magazine. We've been visiting with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Zach Verwink for the entire hour. We will still take your phone calls if you have a call for the mayor at 424-2600, pound 1320 on a U.S. cellular phone. What used to be called the Labor Temple and was a sports bar, and there's some other things. What's going to happen to that building? Everyone is wondering, and then the idea of developing condos or whatever. What's going on?
Yeah, what's the update? That's a good question. So we don't own any more than we owned the last time I was on the radio show.
Okay.
So as a refresher, we own what was formerly the Jim Spath building, which has that cranberry maybe mural, as some people have called it. I'm not sure if I would agree, but it's got a mural on the side that faces the courthouse. Next to that is the USDA, which is actually going to be relocating in front of the mall at the strip mall out next to the Daily Tribune offices and the former Big Apple Bagel space. That'll be the USDA. As far as the Labor Temple and you know, formerly Good Time Charlie's, which is closed, in Jamaican Kitchens, which is relocated and moved out. That building is entirely vacant now.
Did Jamaican Kitchens?
Joy says she's going to take the fall and the winter off. They're doing a lot of catering events. They have
I
mean, she was saying
lunch by the river.
Field. They go everywhere.
They were at the community picnic.
But she said, you know, we want to regroup and we're going to look at locations. So they haven't made any commitments anywhere.
Okay.
So they're going to kind of refocus and take a look at where they need to be. We do want to keep them in town.
Oh,
Yeah. Obviously, they bring a good product, and I enjoy, you know, eating a lot of Jamaican that they.
Oh, I love their jerk pork.
So the plan is to still negotiate with the remaining property owners about acquiring their sites and package that for redevelopment. The timeline, we're going to be, as soon as USDA moves out, which they've extended a couple of times, so it's taken them a little bit longer to find space and to move out. And that that building will come down in probably around the time of our next radio show. I don't know. As soon as we're done with Chestnut, they're going to move downtown and start demolishing the buildings. So that'll happen in late September. Kind of paralleling this whole thing, while we're still negotiating with the property owners, we very much desire to acquire everything. Part of that process, there might be some relocations. We've got a couple of other businesses that are still occupying space, like Four Stools and the law firm, and actually Room Pro Technologies is in the former utility building that's there. So working with those property owners that, you know, we're not going to force anyone out before we need the property, and we're going to work with them in the process. But as far as kind of a parallel piece to all of this is the city's going to this fall issue an RFP for housing.
Request
for proposals. We don't have a good handle on what the gaps are for housing in the market. So without saying, hey, we want to put condos downtown or we want to put apartments, we don't know what the gaps in the market are. We have idea of what the gaps are. We see a lot of senior housing getting requests for permitting and all that. But what are the other gaps and what's the extent is the needs or the market not met? And frankly, you know, with the last housing project that we just permitted, which was Swiderski's development across from Midstate, you know, that's another 50 some units that'll be built in the community, and how far along are we in the demand? Are we meeting the demand? Are we exceeding demand? Or are we short, you know, in meeting the demand? And so the housing study will be similar to what Stevens Point and Marshfield completed in the last number of years that told them, here are the gaps. You've got gaps in housing of this value. You've got gaps in this type of housing, if it's apartments or condos or a variety.
Mm-hmm.
Could be senior housing. Could be low-income housing. We don't know. We have ideas because those developers have showed up and said, we want to build this because we see an opportunity or a demand, but we haven't quantified it ourselves. So as part of that redevelopment across from the courthouse and the triangle block that you're calling, referring to, is we want to get the housing piece done and then hopefully get more progress on acquiring those properties. So that way, through spring, we can demo what we own. And if there's, you know, still tenants in the buildings, if in fact we've come to terms on it, you know, continue to walk through the process. Following the RFP for housing, it's our intention to issue a request for proposals for developers to formally quantify who are the developers in the market or outside of the market that have interest in investing here. And from that point, we will use that exercise to say, okay, the city's put up this as an incentive. We're going to maybe say, okay, you're going to spend $4 million to develop the property, and then you're going to create this many jobs. You know, we're going to create this much office space. They're going to tell us what they can do with the site.
And do you see that as a combination residential business type of development area?
Very much mixed use. If folks have been to Hagemeister Park, which is a nice brew pub, gastropub downtown in Green Bay's waterfront.
Okay.
It's a nice mixed-use development there that has actually a children's museum. It has a number of retail and sort of service-type businesses, but it's got offices on the another floor, and then it's got housing, and it's a mixture of market housing, but also some low-income or mixed-income housing. So we haven't gotten to the point of, you know, to the details of the development because, one, we need to get site control.
Right.
Followed by site control, we've got to figure out what's the demand in our market, and then from there, what's the appetite? Who wants to invest here? What are they willing to spend? What are they willing to invest to get the project off the ground?
And then, the cleanup, aesthetically, it's an important part of the city. You want it to look good.
Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. No question.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a lot of work ahead.
It is. I'll tell you, a busy summer. It's been the busiest.
We look forward to our visit next month when we'll get to visit with Mr. Terry and talk about his long-range views for our infrastructure.
As a representative for the city.
Okay. Well, Your Honor, I appreciate the time this morning, and we'll talk again next month.
Carl, thanks for the time, and thanks to the listeners for joining us this morning.
And with that, we're going to wrap up today's edition of The Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, has been brought to you on AM 1320 and WFHR.com by Comfort Air. And remember, you can catch a video replay on your local cable channel, RCCA Media cable channel, or just go to their website, rccamedia.org. And with that, CBS News is coming up.